Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Hubler and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan and I'm joined every week by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schultheis. Coach, I'm going to tell you what, after that first game yesterday, I was counting my billions. I was ready to text you and say, I've got a plan on where I'm going to spend the money and I will not be there tomorrow. I had big plans and then Pittsburgh won and my hopes were over and I stopped planning how I was going to spend the billion. But I was 12 and 4 yesterday.
Well, Joe, I am sure there are a lot of people out there in Hoopland, in March Madness land, in the dance-a-thon that is the NCAA basketball tourney, they're sitting right there with you, Joe. They were right there. I almost had my billion. But Warren Buffett still has that $1 billion and much, much more. I think I heard the odds would be 1 in 1 quintillion, and I don't even know what that means. But it's much greater than the odds of winning the regular lottery because they say you have better odds of getting in a wreck on your way to buying a lottery ticket than you do in actually winning with that lottery ticket. So this $1 billion dance-a-thon is even greater. But having said all that, I, too, am out of the billion-dollar chase. Coach K has one wrong. Yes, Coach K has one wrong. Texas, who I like Texas. I've always liked Texas. Coach Barnes, I think, does a great job. But the last few years, they have not been the Texas team that I'm used to seeing. And I really thought that this would be an Arizona State victory. I picked that as an upset. A mild upset, but Texas held on, Joe, and so I join the ranks of the millions and millions and millions of people that have at least one loss in the tournament. But for those of you listening to the Coach K and Joe Show who still have no losses, well done, Weed Hopper, well done. Because you're still alive if you're in the chase for the billion. Joe, we got a great show today. We've got coming up in our first segment, we'll be at the end of our first segment, we'll be Peaks.com, Mike Pegram. Looking forward to talking a little IU basketball with him. What's going on in B-Town. We also will have Chris Kramer. You'll be doing the interview with Chris Kramer, former Purdue basketball star. Had some time in professional basketball as well. I'm sure you're looking forward to that, Joe.
Oh, I've already been instructed that if I don't say hi from Liz Reed, Reese, and Rafe, that I will be in trouble. He is by far one of the favorite Boilermakers in the Milligan household, and maybe we'll even get Liz to listen today. You know, that'd be a good thing. I don't know at school. I'm not sure if she's able to get on, but it would be nice if we had her. But, you know. We also have, if it works out in his schedule, Jaquan Lyle, who committed to Oregon, on the show today. And then also we'll have Travis Madison here to talk about that big Barreve-Clay City matchup, which I'm sure that there will be more than a few Schultheises at that game, right?
Yeah, we're looking forward to the semi-state coming up this Saturday. It's the 1A in-class basketball semi-state. Of course, my son Josh is an assistant with the Barry staff, Coach Brian Hughes. They'll be playing Clay City in what I hope is not a trap game. And we'll talk with Travis Madison about that in the second hour, I believe. And, of course, you said new recruit officially has come out and said he will attend Oregon and play for Dana Altman, Jaquan Lyle. We are hoping, folks, to have him on the show. I'm hoping the scheduling works out. But it looks like a really good show or really good shoe, but we're excited about it. And guys, I'm a little delirious. I stayed up. I was watching the games from the time they began with Dayton beating Ohio State all the way in. I did leave the tube a little early last night. I did not watch all of the Louisville game. I was happy to see them survive. One, because I like how Coach Pitino does his job. And secondly, I've got them moving on in the tournament. But it was a fun first day. And, Joe, in this first segment, before we go to break, I want to talk a little bit about Steve Fisher, coach of San Diego State and the NCAA. And he brought something up. I love some of these coaches have had the guts to come out and speak up against the NCAA. And it's great because it's Steve Fisher, who's been around a long time and doesn't care what they do to him. And Rick Pitino, who's been around a long time, and he's at the point where he doesn't care, even though some of his comments may have hurt him. But Steve Fisher brought up a great point. He said that the NCAA told them that if they had lost the game, if Arizona or New Mexico State, or if they had lost the game. Joe, I'm hearing some clicking in the background. I'm not sure what it is. Are we okay?
I'm not sure.
Sounds like typewriting almost.
I'm not. Okay, I'm not typing right now, so I'm not sure.
Something's clicking. Okay, well, my point was this. Steve Fisher comes out and says, the NCAA said whoever loses the game last night needs to go back, get their stuff, get on a plane, and go home. And he was very irritated by that, even though his San Diego State team won, and they didn't have to do that. And I got to tell you, I was shocked that that was the case. Here is a billion-dollar nonprofit corporation. The NCAA tournament, in its, I mean, you got 64 teams, and you're telling them they play the late game, go back to the hotel, get your stuff, and get on a plane and get out. Now, they can't even stay around and watch some of the tournament that they worked their butt off the whole year to get in. And I agree with Steve Fisher. That's almost catty. That's ridiculous. That you lose, you're done. Go home. Here's a organization where the president of the NCAA makes like $2 million. $2 million. This is a nonprofit athletic college athletics who will fire a coach, who will suspend a player if they give somebody a ride to the airport when they're not supposed to. If they give somebody some meal money when they're not supposed to. But the $2 million salary at the top, and maybe we ought to have Bill Somm, who worked with the NCAA, on to talk a little bit about this at some point, is telling teams, especially the late team, the team that plays the last game in their TV contract setup, which brings in, let me say it again, billions of dollars, you need to go home ASAP. And, folks, I think it's sad. I think it's sad that the NCAA would take this wonderful opportunity, this wonderful time for this group of athletes, and limit them to that point where all the work they've done for months, and in some cases, Joe, years and years to get their chance, they lose, you're done, we're finished with you, get your stuff and go home. Joe, I think it's a little bit ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just the way sports is, you know, these days, and that's just something we've got to deal with. And I don't agree with it either, but that's just the culture we live in now.
Yeah, but why would the NCAA have to have that kind of a culture? Why would an organization that brings in billions of dollars not at least allow that team to stay overnight and experience the next round of games, or at least get a good night's sleep or whatever sleep they can get, and then head home the next day? It really is kind of a throwaway situation.
It's just, you know, the NCAA is a cash cow, and we all know that. That's why some of the players are clamoring to maybe get paid a little bit of money. And you know, you're right. That do they not deserve to sit there and watch the rest of the weekend? You know, you made the tournament. You know, put them up and let them stay there and let them watch the rest of that round. You're not saying you're going to send them to the other rounds. They're already there. and the rooms are and everything's booked already, like they're into the final game. So I don't see any problems as far as that goes. But, you know, the NCAA, there's a lot of questions about it. That's why, you know, you hear about possibly four big conferences possibly setting up and the NCAA just, you know, going away. And you keep hearing about that for the last 3 or 4 years. We've heard about that. And it's just one of those things that that the NCAA needs to wake up and take care of.
Well, I really don't see how they can rationalize, and whoever put this schedule together can rationalize it. We're talking about probably 30 people, and you can limit the number of rooms you'll pay for. You know, we're talking about a few thousand dollars in this situation, and the NCAA, because of the number of rooms they book, the number of dollars they spend, obviously are getting some kind of deal from these people. But let's make this an experience that these players never forget, win or lose. So as they're going through in their professional lives, they are big supporters of the NCAA and the March Madness dance to the Final Four, that they don't look back and say, yeah, and they ran us on a plane or a bus and sent us out. Because you know what? One of them may end up in a pretty big political position, or they might be a judge who rules on a case with the NCAA, Joe, and it may come back to haunt them. You know, I don't even know if I want to call them a cash cow anymore. I almost want to call them the pig that gets slaughtered or potentially could get slaughtered. I don't like this, and I appreciate Steve Fisher, regardless of what you think of Steve Fisher, folks. I appreciate Steve Fisher coming out and making note of that. You know, there's a lot of things that in the biggest scheme, is this a big deal? Probably not, but sometimes it's the little things that matter. It's the little things that matter that make something wonderful, that make experiences wonderful. The time, not just playing in the game, but the time you spend finishing that weekend. And March Madness, you know, they don't want the fans to go home after one game. They don't want the fans to go home after one game, I guarantee you. So why send the players home? Because guess what? Keep the players there, keep the coaches there, and guess what? You'll keep the fans there because they're going to stay around to see their sons. They're going to stay around to see their spouses. They're going to stay around to see their buddies. And it's all about an experience. If the NCAA tournament is nothing more than just an athletic conference or contest, then that's not what it's being sold as. The marketing dollars spent on the NCAA tournament, the Final Four, the march to the Final Four, March Madness, everything, the big dance, is the experience. And that's what millions of dollars are spent on every year by CBS, by ESPN, by every bracket that's out there on the internet. Of course, I got one loss. That is the experience. It's the NCAA tournament. We also have big news with Auburn University. Bruce Pearl, former head coach at University of Southern Indiana, went to Tennessee, remarkable job, was in Milwaukee as well, got in some trouble for telling a lie about a lie, went to ESPN, did a great job of PRing himself, and we'll talk about Bruce Pearl, who I like, who I've met and spent time with several times. We'll talk about Bruce Pearl later in the show. We're going to go to break, our first break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking to Peaks.com's Mike Pegram. We're going to find out what's going on in Bloomington with the Hoosiers, where we're headed. And you know, I tweeted earlier, guys, that back home again in Indiana, that's where everybody is if you play basketball on the college level in Indiana. What happened? Maybe Mike Pegram can talk a little bit about the Hoosier end of things and maybe recruiting in general. We're going to go to break. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit IdeaFusionMedia.com. That's IdeaFusionMedia.com.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Toyota in Jasper. You know what happens when you sell a bunch of new Toyotas? You trade for hundreds of great pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and sport utilities. Many are certified, have factory warranty remaining, fully inspected, and they're all priced to sell. Hurry in for the best selection. Ubelar & Sons Toyota, where customers send their friends for a great pre-owned vehicle since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hi, this is Tyler Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and our first guest, we love when he comes on the show because he gets us up to date. I know there are a lot of Hoosier fans listening. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, welcome to the show.
Hey, great to be back.
Hey, Pegs, let me ask you, I know that there'll be more information going forward as kind of the tournament settles down and things like that, but I brought up a question on Twitter. I said, you know, back home again in Indiana, that's where all the Indiana college teams are at. What happened to the state of Indiana, the basketball mecca, particularly the Hoosiers, but nobody was dancing this year?
Yeah, and it's not like the state is not producing enough talent to build, you know, NCAA tournament caliber teams. I mean, we're churning out really good players. It just, a lot of them are playing at other rosters, unfortunately, right now. And the timing just for all schools wasn't very good this year. They're Indiana coming off a big graduation and NBA losses and so forth. And Butler kind of rebuilding this year. And Indiana State having a good season when Wichita State is really dominating that league. So they're just bad timing plus not keeping some of the best players home.
You know, a lot of people can come up with reasons for that particular point you just made. You're out there a lot. You talk to a lot of people. Is the direction of recruiting in college basketball, are we going after people too soon? Are we getting commitments too soon? Is that leaving Indiana players in a position where they, Indiana high school players, where they go ahead and look elsewhere? Is there anything that you see that causes us to lose IU, Purdue, Notre Dame, Butler, Evansville, Indiana State, to lose out on these homegrown Indiana players? Is there anything you can put your finger on or thoughts on that, Pete?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the point you're trying to bring out is that Indiana and Purdue made some mistakes in taking early commitments from the class of 2012 or really going after kids early. I think in Indiana's case, a little bit of a defense is they needed to build some momentum for their program after some really bad seasons and that, you know, that the complete renovation project they had. But there was a incredible amount of talent in the 2012 class. A lot of it developed late, like Glenn Robinson and to a certain extent Gary Harrison. And Indiana and Purdue filled those classes pretty early or had a lot of early commitments from kids that looked like they were going to be pretty good. Hunter Perea, Peter Jerkin, Raphael Davis for Purdue. And but they, you know, it turns out that the guys who looked really good as juniors and seniors were the ones to get, not the ones who looked good as freshmen and sophomores. And so there was kind of a too late situation for them. And those kids got a little bit upset about some of the early non-interest. And even though that they were being recruited, ended up at Michigan State and Devontae Smith-Rivera ended up at Georgetown. A lot of good players You know, I think if they even waited, even somebody like DJ Ballantyne could have ended up in the Big Ten. But the process, I think they've adjusted from that, but they're paying the price today.
Yeah, there's no doubt that as I watch the NCAA tournament, and you're always going to see homegrown Indiana kids playing somewhere else, but it is amazing some of the good, I mean really good players that are playing at other state universities, not just private universities, but other state universities, and it is disappointing at times. And you brought up a name that I think a lot of, and Marty Simmons and U of E, happy to have him, believe me. DJ Ballantyne is a heck of a player, a heck of a scorer. I'm surprised that he got away from some of the bigger schools.
I think if recruiting had been the way it had been in the past, where a lot of decisions were made during a prospect's senior season, I think he could have been in and ended up at a Big Ten program, because we're talking about a senior all-star that was consistently scoring against top players. You know, if a team that needed a shooter could have added him for the Big Ten, I think that would have been a likely scenario maybe. But, you know, things have gotten really accelerated with that class and its recruitment. And he's found a good situation where he's, you know, getting all the shots he wants at Evansville.
Yeah. He is getting all the shots, and he converts a lot of them. And Evansville, UV's probably an inside player away from making some noise in the NBC. If you just joined the show, Mike Pegram from Pegs.com has joined us. And Mike, I've got a question here from one of our listeners, and they want to know, and you know, folks, we'll ask the questions, and I know Mike Pegram will tell us what he can or what he's able to tell us. Here's the question, Mike. Noah Vonley, what are the chances he goes to the NBA? And if he does, where does that leave the Hoosiers for next year?
I think it's a 90% or greater chance that he's going to go to the NBA. You know, that's the word we're getting from a number of sources right now, including people in the NBA. He's going to go probably towards the end of the top 10 in the draft if he does, and that's quite an opportunity, a lot of money to pass on for another year. The options, you know, that Hunter Perea had some moments late in the year, but the Luke Fisher transfer really limits what's coming back on the interior. So Indiana is scrambling, recruiting. They may have found an incredible luck with a really good fifth-year grad transfer. Anthony Lee really wants to look into IU, 6'9", averaged 14 points a game for Temple. Led the league. His league in rebounding, almost 9 boards a game. He's going to be immediately eligible, and I think Indiana and Iowa State are a couple of the schools I think he probably will take a trip to, and his family had moved from the East Coast to Moline, Illinois recently, and so he's not going to be far from home if he goes to Indiana or Iowa State. I think that those are two possibilities. And they're looking at Tom Crean scouted a 6'8 or 6'9 player up in Michigan as a late bloomer, having a real big state tournament. They're looking at Josh Cunningham and Marvin Clark, a pair of 6'7 kind of combo forwards that can really rebound, even though they may be a little undersized for the four. They can really help maybe playing alongside a big center. They're scrambling, but there are some options that they've discovered, and I think recruiting is definitely not over for Indiana. You really cannot evaluate this roster for at least another month, as far as what they'll have next season.
And your point that you just made, and I know I have another question here, and I won't even ask you because I think you kind of made the point to really look and evaluate this roster over the next month, and that would include not only who Tom Crean and his staff are going after, but who may also not be at IU as far as the team is concerned. Are you at a point where you know other guys may be transferring, may be leaving, or right now everything's just kind of status quo and we just got to wait and see?
Well, it's mainly wait and see. I mean, we hear a lot of things, and I would expect after a season that was not as good as anybody really, you know, a lower than expectation season does lead to more early attrition. And I would suspect we'll have some in Indiana. The staff seems to be recruiting with that in mind, going after a lot of kids. But spring break was this week. It came right after the last game, and a lot of kids left. And they'll have probably have one-on-one meetings with Coach Crean, and that's where things kind of develop in terms of what they need to work on or if they want to stay within the program. So we probably will know more in about another week or two if there might be some decisions to go to another program or not. So, but right now it's a little bit tough to say because the players have kind of left Bloomington for a few days here.
You know, Mike, another question that I personally have, and because you're around a lot of the recruiting that goes on, and you're seeing all these players, you're out on the road constantly, you and your staff, and have some of the college coaches in a race to keep up with a Duke or a Patino at times, or Calipari's freshman in, freshman out, have we maybe lost our way a little bit from the teams where you went out, you found, you know, the three or four really, really good players, and then you built your team with rebounders and guys that will give you everything they got and guys that can come off the bench and are willing to come off the bench. Have we gone too far the other way to stockpile the best athletes, the YouTube videos, the AAU, and everybody thinks, as I've read many coaches talk about, they think they're going to the NBA right away. Is there maybe a little bit more science that maybe needs to go into this recruiting process that maybe has been lost the last 5-6 years?
Maybe a little bit. I think you saw a little bit in Indiana. You had some kids that were really good athletes but kind of lacked the shooting and the decisions with the ball, which led to the turnover issue. A little bit of that, I think you can get infatuated with athletes and not end up with skills, you know, or kids that with good instincts and play it more as a team. But, to a certain extent, I think you can, though, if you really want to advance to the Final Four and do things, you need to have pretty good athletes. So it's tempting to just go after that type of player and at the risk of losing some of the other key things I think you're getting on.
As you look down the road for the Hoosiers, you talked about some of the guys they're out getting, looking at now that they want to bring in right away to kind of rebuild this team or plug in some of the holes. What about 2-3 years down the road? Who do the Hoosiers and Coach Crean have their eye on?
I think they have a great chance to get this Raymond Spalding out of Louisville. He's a junior. He's 6'9", very athletic, a little bit raw, but he's got nice skills, good explosion, skinny, but, in 3 years will be, with some weight training, will probably be pretty solid. He's ranked among the top 150, not the top 100, which is, actually a nice area to recruit a player because he probably won't be headed thinking about the league and all that goes with that. But he's still pretty good, and he's led his team, I think, to the Sweet 16 of Kentucky, and they beat some really good teams. I think he's the most likely addition at this point, as Indiana, doesn't really have a lot of size in the 2015 class in the state. So they're lucky to find someone that's only an hour or two away, maybe, and they're not quite Kentucky level, how high they recruit. So it's actually, he's a kid, and then there's some good talent. Jalen Coleman's a really good shooter from the Indianapolis area that moved up to La Lemire Academy in LaPorte, super shooter. So there's some good talent, but they're going to have to get some size because especially if they end up with a graduate transfer, that's only kind of a one-year solution to their interior.
As we look at some of the other teams in the state, Purdue's in a struggle. One of their guards, Ronnie Johnson, is going to transfer. I personally, from my coaching side of life, he was sometimes the best player for the other team when he was out on the court with turnovers and poor IQ when it comes to basketball. What are you looking, when you look at Purdue, what do you think they need to do to get themselves back in the upper half of the Big Ten?
Well, we talked about how they made some real early commitment decisions that kind of cost them with they just have to be smarter with their recruiting. I've actually run into their assistants twice in the last weeks. They are pounding the road right now. They're really recruiting this Caleb Swanigan kid from Fort Wayne, who's the best big man in the state right now, even though he's only a sophomore. I saw him in Chicago on Tuesday night, following a couple of Chicago teams in the Super Sectionals there. I think they need to get back to some scrappy kids from Chicago that play defense. You know, that's been the mantra of Matt Painter, we really guard people. But they have to be smarter and with their recruiting. And some of the kids that they had just didn't have the maturity, I think, that they thought. And they have to be a little more careful about what's going on with the kid outside the court.
Okay, last two things before I let you go, and I thank you for your time again. First one, let's put this to rest as far as you know. A lot of people asking, is Tom Crean leaving? Is Tom Crean's job on the line? You're there every day. I know you don't have the ears or necessarily in the boardrooms. Is there any chance that Tom Crean is leaving Indiana this year?
No, I don't think there is. And I think he's safe for a couple more years, actually. I think you can build up some slack when you win the Big Ten outright. Obviously, they lost more than about any team out there in college basketball in the past year. And 7-11 in the Big Ten, though, is not good. But contract also has tremendous buyouts for the next 2 years. I think it would be $14 million. If Indiana wanted to make a change, and $12 million, if they wanted to make a change a year from now, that they would have to pay in his buyout clause. So I think if the season is the same next year or worse, then we might be in a little bit of a gray area. But if they win a little bit more next year, I think he'll buy himself one more season of another chance, but I still see him being the coach maybe 3 years from now, and we'll go from there.
And Mike, everybody wants to know, how's your bracket? Is it busted yet? Are you perfect? Where are you at?
Well, it's actually a good question. I think I had 13 right. Yeah, I think I had 13 right. I mean, I'm pretty average, I think, right now. I should have picked Dayton. That one I should have known better. But then that was a 50-50 game. And that was one that made me mad yesterday because I had a feeling Ohio State wasn't going to play well. it's always a game or two.
Yeah, you know, I went with Arizona State because I thought Texas just wasn't up to it, so I lost on that one. But what the heck? What's your upset of the day for today? You got anyone that stands out that you say this is going to happen today?
Well, let me see here. Providence can beat Carolina. I don't know if that's a big upset. I could see Tennessee winning. I think there's a little bit of advantage sometimes playing with that in the first four. You kind of get the nervousness out of your system.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. I hope that Roy Williams has North Carolina ready because I picked him. Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, great to have you. Thanks for getting us up to date on what's going on in Hoosier land. Certainly appreciate it.
All right. Coach. Take care.
Good luck in your brackets today, Mike. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Farmer, Purdue, basketball great Chris Kramer will be on the show, and Joe will be talking with Chris, and you know, maybe he has some insight on what the Boilers need to do and Coach Painter over the course of the next 12 months, well, really not 12 months, 6 months, and maybe the next couple of years to get him back up there. We'll go to break, and when we come back, Chris Kramer, former Purdue great, you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubelar's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubelar's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan, joined by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schulteis. And I'll tell you what, Coach, I'm totally excited about this interview. I've been known as the Purdue Homer on the Coach K and Joe Show, and it's a badge that I proudly wear. And we're talking to one of the Milligan family's favorite Boilermakers, Chris Kramer. Chris, how are you doing today?
Doing pretty well. Just a cold, rainy day in Germany, but, you know, things are going well.
You know, Chris, before, you know, we start talking Purdue, can you tell us a little bit about what's been up with Chris Kramer? I know you've been in Puerto Rico, you've been in Germany. Tell us a little bit about your professional career.
Well, I started out, I went to training camp with the Milwaukee Bucks right after graduating from Purdue. Got cut, played in the D League, went to Puerto Rico, played for the summer. And then there was a lockout in the NBA, so decided, you know, perfect time to give Europe a shot. And, you know, so I've been in Germany for the past 3 years. And last year we lost in the finals, so we were runner-up there. And now this year we are currently in fourth place. You know, trying to battle for the best playoff seeding we can get.
Now, you've played at Puerto Rico. You've played in Germany. Tell me a little bit, what's the difference in you know, a lot of these leagues are so different everywhere. A little bit about the difference between playing in the Puerto Rican League and also the German League.
I think they're kind of similar in some ways, but also they're pretty different. You know, in the German League, we're able to have six imports, so six guys that are not German citizens. You know, so that's a little bit different. Most places you can only have two, you know, imports, and that definitely helps this league out a little bit and making the German League, you know, quickly becoming one of the better leagues in Europe because there's so many positions and it makes the teams you know, really competitive. I would compare the German league, the way that they play defense, everybody, and the style of play kind of to a Big Ten style. You know, it's physical, a lot of defense played. And in Puerto Rico, it was kind of a get up and down, you know, we're going to outscore you type of game.
You know, you before you went to Purdue, you were a three-sport star athlete at Huntington North High School. You know, in this day and age where kids are specializing in certain sports so early, why do you think that playing three sports like you did in high school helped develop you as an athlete?
You know, I just think it always kept me competitive. And, you know, I know people are going to say, well, you know, sports are becoming, you know, a year-round thing. And, you know, I get that, but, you know, I wanted to be competitive in different things, and, you know, I think it just helped me learn a lot more lessons through sports about life than I would have just playing one sport, you know, kind of just figuring out that basketball was my true love and just kind of stopping, you know, playing football and baseball, you know, as I was growing up. And, you know, I was pretty good at football, was pretty good at baseball, and I loved, you know, hanging out with my friends, being competitive and going on, you know, the away trips, playing in those games. But I still always found time to play basketball. And, you know, my baseball coach in high school was actually really understanding. And if I had a big AAU tournament, you know, depending on who we played, you know, he would let me maybe skip out of that baseball game and go to the AAU tournament depending. So, you know, I was kind of fortunate in that case. But I think, you know, keeping the competitive juices going, you know, playing multiple sports can be beneficial. But I can understand when people say, you know, that it can kind of, you know, hurt you in some way or you could get hurt. But, you know, my response to that would be, you know, you can get hurt doing anything these days. And, you know, you just got to kind of go out there and, you know, do the things you love and play as hard as you can.
You know, as you got done with your high school career at Huntington North, you know, and you're going through the recruiting process, first, I got two questions. First, were you recruited at all to play baseball or football in college? And then also, take us through the recruiting process in basketball where you chose Purdue.
You know, I was had some interest in baseball, but I played shortstop, and I definitely wouldn't have been a shortstop moving forward. I would have been an outfielder, and there was a couple times, there was two major league scouts, one from the Nationals and one from the Yankees that saw us play. And I actually got a pretty good response back from them, but baseball to me is just kind of a boring, you know, it's just not a lot of action all the time when you have a dominant pitcher on the mound and, you know, you can only bat once at every nine. So, you know, it's kind of a, you know, the waiting game, I guess, in some situations. In football, I had some interest. You know, I got a lot of letters and things like that, but my high school football coach was very good at communicating to me and kind of, you know, keeping me in the loop. And it got to the point where I just kind of told him that, you know, no matter what came, I wanted to play basketball at the next level. And, you know, just to inform anybody that got a hold of him and kind of, you know, to shut down that process, you know, kind of in the early stages of the football season. So, but with the basketball, you know, I got recruited by a lot of mid-majors, you know, got some offers. And I got offered by Iowa. I went and visited Indiana, Ohio State. I went to visit Ball State, you know, Purdue offered, and I went to visit. And just meeting with Coach Painter, and at that point it was Coach Lusk, Coach Martin, I was, as soon as I left, I knew that that was a place that I wanted to go solely based on, you know, those coaches. And then I met a few players. I think I met Carl Landry and David Teague that would have been seniors when I got there. And, you know, they were great guys. You know, they were always, you know, there if I needed anything to lend a helping hand. You know, so they kind of sold me on that. And then, you know, I kind of wanted to be part of something special. You know, part of, you know, Purdue at that point was really struggling in the Big Ten and wanted to kind of be, you know, that person that kind of helped make that jump back up to, you know, being that dominant factor in the Big Ten and, you know, back to the national scene. And we were very fortunate to do that.
And, you know, we're really happy that you picked Purdue, us Purdue fans. You were, just, I said, you're a fan favorite, and people loved the way you played. And, you know, defensively, you know, you were a four-time All-Big Ten defensive player, and you're one of the greatest that played at Purdue history defensively. But what did Chris Kramer do to make himself such a great defender?
You know, I think I was, you know, some of it had to do with, you know, playing baseball and playing football. You know, in football I played defense. I was a safety or a corner, and you know, just having the knack for the ball and, you know, seeing the ball or, you know, anticipating where it was going to go. in football and in baseball playing shortstop. That definitely helped me playing defense and running through the passing lanes. But Coach Martin and David Teague, my freshman year in the summer, really pushed me to be the best defender I could and really take pride in becoming that stopper. And, you know, I knew going into my freshman year that that was going to be really my only way to step foot on the court. Is if I could be that lockdown defender and kind of help out David Teague, in defending and, kind of take a little pressure off him so he could score more points for us. And, I put all my effort in there and, was very fortunate enough to, start my first collegiate game. And, I guess the rest is, kind of history from there.
You know, your mom, she got a lot of FaceTime during Purdue broadcasts. She's a true Boilermaker. And what did your parents instill in you to make you such a great competitor?
I think they, just always was, if you're going to do something, you got to do it 100%. And, you're never going to give up. And, they didn't care. What the score was, no matter what I did, I had to do it, the best way I could and give it my all. And, those are some qualities I feel like, in today's game, I feel like people are kind of coddled too. They kind of, with all the AAU things and the rankings, I feel like people, feel like to have a sense of notoriety as a freshman going into certain places, and they feel like they don't have to work as hard as they need to. And that's why, a lot of kids, when the pressure gets put on them, they start to transfer, they start to, second guess their decisions because they've never, had to work as hard as they are in the current situation they are in. And, I'm very blessed with my parents, instilled some of those qualities into me to never give up and, work as hard as I can at, the task at hand and, try to be the best I can.
Now, you said, you talked about David Teague being an upperclassman when you were an underclassman. When you were an upperclassman, that's when Hummel, Moore, and Johnson came in. And did you know early on that they were going to be a pretty special group and contribute already as freshmen?
They would have came in my sophomore year. And in that,
yes.
In that summer when we were working out before they got there, after the season we started working out after my freshman year, preparing for the next year. And, we knew they were going to be good. We knew Rob was very versatile. We knew Juwan might take a little bit of time, making that jump, but we knew he was going to be special. And we knew Etuan would step in and could score the ball because he's done it his whole life up to that point. And, those things kind of transfer pretty, if you can score the ball, you can always score the ball. And, he kind of has an unorthodox game that, let him be successful in all aspects of the game. So we knew they were going to be good, and, we knew we had to come in and incorporate those guys right away so we could kind of make that jump and, try to make a splash in the Big Ten. And nationally, I guess, as soon as they step foot on. And I think the older guys definitely pushed them and, kind of got them ready for the what they were going into in the first season of playing at Purdue. And, they worked as hard as they could on their games in the weight room to make themselves ready. And, collectively, we all gelled together. We all wanted to win, which is the biggest thing. And, there wasn't one individual person that was kind of selfish. We all would defer to others. We all sacrificed a little bit for the betterment of the team. And, I feel like that's why we are so successful as, a unit.
Yeah, as I said earlier, you always gave 110%, to be named four times to the Big Ten defensive team is something special. Now, when you watch Aaron Kraft for Ohio State, did you see a younger Chris Kramer?
I actually did an interview for the Big Ten .org, and they kind of asked me a similar question. And, you know, I think there's some similarities, but I think there's some differences too. I think Aaron is more of an on-ball defender. He's definitely he would be like that fly that doesn't leave you alone, that's just right there all the time in your face. And he can definitely put a lot of pressure on the ball. He has active hands. He has quick feet. He gets a lot of deflections and steals that way, where I was kind of a better off-the-ball defender, you know, chasing guys off screens and some of that stuff. I think if you could take some of my best qualities and his best qualities, I think we could have one heck of a defensive player. But he definitely had a an unbelievable career. He's definitely in that category of, you know, we love to have you on our team and we hate to play against you. And, you know, yeah. I think that can be, in some senses, you know, the best compliment an opposing team can give you.
Okay, you know, the Boilermakers had a tough couple of years here. Have you talked to Coach Painter much during the last couple of years?
I've talked to him a little bit. You know, being over here, I try to kind of stay away a little bit, but I watch the games, and, you know, we'll talk maybe a couple times during the year. But, you know, being an outsider, it's definitely I'm a little bit different. And, I mean, I try to watch every game I can depending on the time. You know, being 6 hours ahead sometimes, you know, staying up till 6 in the morning, watching the end of a game is kind of rough. But, you know, I just feel like, you know, they lack consistency, and, you know, they'll play really well one game, and then the next game, it's like they won't even show up. And I feel like that's a lack of leadership on the court. You know, I feel like there has to be that guy mm-hmm. that's playing that has to hold everybody accountable. And, you know, I know Coach Painter had him ready to play. I know they knew what was going on offensively and defensively for the other opponent going into the game. They knew how to attack, you know, what the other team was going to do on offense and defense. You know, so just going out there and seeing so many mental, you know, mental mistakes, you know, time after time after time, you know, it was definitely frustrating. And when it got down to the, you know, to the down stretch of the game where, you know, we're winning and we're close, we always found a way to lose the game instead of found a way to win, you know. And, you know, that's definitely frustrating in that case too. But, you know, I think moving forward, you know, the days are definitely brighter for Purdue. And I think A.J. Hammons will definitely test the waters of the NBA. I think right now he was, when I looked the other day, he was a second-round draft pick. So I think he'll definitely come back unless he does something that just dazzles NBA guys. I think he's, you know, 1 year away from being a complete dominant force offensively and defensively in the collegiate game. And we'll make, you know, that much better of a pro with one more year. You saw at the end of the year he started to play with more minutes, with being able to stay out of foul trouble for the most part. You know, if you could get A.J. Hammons to play between 28 and, you know, 35 minutes a game and stay out of foul trouble, it definitely changes the dynamic of Purdue, especially with some of the guys that are coming in this year that'll be freshmen. You know, I think they'll keep on developing. I think Rafael Davis will be, you know, kind of the head of the monster. You know, he's going to be the leader. You know, he definitely goes out there and plays as hard as he can, and he does everything he can for the team to win. And I think that leadership will help Purdue in the summertime and moving forward. And, you know, the transfer to Ronnie Johnson, I think, is just addition by subtraction. And, you know, he doesn't want to be there. You know, Purdue fans got to, you know, understand that, okay. But, you know, we're moving forward, you know, with or without you. And, you know, it's next man up. And, you know, I don't care if that's, you know, a freshman, if that's a freshman or You know, if we get somebody else from JUCO or whatever else Coach Painter is going has going on, I have no idea. But, you know, next man up has to be ready to play. And, you know, it's just a, you know, when somebody leaves, it's another opportunity for somebody else. And, you know, they just got to be ready to take full advantage of it.
I had a question text me during your last answer. The question is, do you ever think that Coach Painter would ever play zone?
You know, I don't think zone is the answer, to be honest. I understand people want to keep A.J. Hammons out of foul trouble. But we have enough problems rebounding the ball, playing man-to-man when everybody's right by each other, and it's so hard to rebound out of a zone. And, you know, the communication is such a key aspect of playing a zone defense, and, you know, we lack communication so bad in so many different instances, so I don't think it really would have helped us. And, I mean, you know, the staple of Purdue is, you know, playing hard man-to-man defense, and, you know, that's just something he's had, you know, from playing under Coach Katie and then coaching, you know, with Coach Katie. And I just don't think it'll change, to be honest. And, you know, I think, you know, they have the capabilities to be a great defensive team. They just got to, you know, have the pride in themselves, you know, to get up and try to defend their man one-on-one and not rely on any help.
Okay, Chris, you know, in your off season, do you ever get a chance to make it down to work at West Lafayette to work out with the current Boilermakers?
You know, our season goes so late most of the time. I mean, especially last year, we I was here until like the middle of June. So we try to have like a mini camp at Purdue with some of the guys that still play. You know, we started that last season, and, you know, so I hope I can make it back for that, but it just depends on, you know, the timing and how everything works out over here. You know, I would like to go back and kind of talk and, you know, kind of show them how things need to be done and, you know, what it takes to be successful at the collegiate level and, you know, just pass on some advice, you know, on to some of the younger guys or even the older guys that have had some, you know, tough patches, you know, because it just takes 1 year to turn something around. And I hope this next year is the year for Purdue.
Well, I can tell you as a Purdue fan, if we can get Chris Kramer down to help out the team, we'd totally appreciate it, because we know just how, if we can get them to start playing just like you play defense, we'll be happy fans. And I'll tell you what, I told you this off air. I want to tell you on air because my family will question that I told you this, but Liz Reed, Reese, and Rafe Milligan told me to tell you hi and to tell you that you are definitely their favorite Boilermaker.
Oh, well, thanks. I appreciate them. Tell them I said hello as well.
Okay, and Chris, you know, we hope to have you back on in the future, you know, to update us on what's going on with Chris Kramer, and we appreciate you for joining us today.
Hey, well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, we'll be back on the Coach K and Joe Show right after this break.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care. Creating beautiful smiles.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac, Toyota Scion in Jasper. We've all heard the commercial, 15 minutes could save you 15. Folks, let me tell you, it won't take 15 minutes for us to save you money. Give Ubelars a call at 1-800-937-USA1 or visit us online at ubelar.com. We'll tell you the facts, treat you right, no bait and switch, and best of all, we will save you money. Ubelar Chevy Cadillac, Toyota Scion in Jasper, where customers send their friends for a lifetime of savings in 15 minutes or less since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. And, Coach, two great interviews. We got IU in. We got Purdue in. You know, unfortunately, we didn't get to talk to Chris or Mike about the NCAA tournament games that Purdue or IU would be playing in. But I'll tell you what, Coach, looking at your bracket, what's your upset special of the day? Because I'm asking this because I want your opinion, because I took Dan Dockich's opinion. He guaranteed Western Michigan to win yesterday. I picked it, and it was, and he cost me $1 billion possibly, you know. Of course, I missed three other games. What's your upset special, Coach?
I don't know that I have an upset special, because I look at the teams in their capabilities to win. But let me just go back to your interview with Chris Kramer. I think he hit a couple things on the head about Purdue and their communication on the court, and that, you know, I call it basketball IQ and decision-making. I'm not saying that the gentlemen aren't good students or anything like that, just making decisions in basketball. But I thought Chris made a great point, Joe, when he talked about communication. And really, the capabilities of playing a zone are important with communication, but a good man-to-man is too. And I think what Chris was pointing out is that Purdue can't play a great man-to-man because they can't communicate, therefore they can't play a good zone. Your love fest that you had with him, bromance, whatever you want to call it, I mean,
it was
almost ridiculous. It was almost ridiculous.
Yes, it was.
But yet,
it was a great interview.
You are the Mike Greenberg of this show, and your love fest.
Thank you.
If I was Liz, I'd be a little bit nervous about the bromance that went on for the last 15 minutes. But it was a good interview. Chris, all the way from Germany, I mean, he's probably had to get up pretty early.
It's 7 o'clock there, so he's going out
there
to have dinner right now. He's having dinner now. But I had a question for you, though. Most telling thing he told in that interview was when he, we fans might think and say this, but was when he said Ronnie Johnson leaving was addition by subtraction. I took that as speaking volumes.
Yeah, I think that what he did was he was very politically correct, very genteel. I have been clear, and I think you have maybe off the mic, that Ronnie Johnson's loss to Purdue is actually Purdue's gain, because Ronnie Johnson is not understanding how to play this basketball game and make good decisions. You know, if you watch the NCAA tournament, Joe, and I know you what I'm saying here, how many times did you see Oregon? Did you see University of Albany, UAlbany as they called it, making the extra passes? And you didn't see that out of IU. I won't leave IU out. You didn't see that out of IU, and you didn't see that out of Purdue. Poor decision-making, and you only have to look at the last game Purdue played in the Big Ten tournament and watch Ronnie Johnson. And Ronnie, if you ever listen to the show or somebody contacts you, I think you're a talented basketball player. I think you struggle with understanding how to take talent and use it in the game of basketball right now. You may get there. Maybe this transferring out and sitting out a year will be an advantage to you. I'm not sure. But Purdue, Joe, they just have to get better with their decision-making, and I'm sure Coach Painter sees that, because Coach Painter was a smart basketball player. Hey, one thing, Joe, before we move into discussion of the NCAA tournament, folks, it's not too late. You're coming upon the end of the tax season, and as I said on previous shows, the tax man cometh, and his arm reaches everywhere that you live. So if you haven't gotten hold of your financial advisor, you need to get a hold of Janet Schulteis at Edward Jones. Edward Jones has been around a long, long time, and they're not the best because they don't know what they're doing. They're the best because they know what they're doing. They sit down with you. They communicate with you annually, even more than that. They find out what your risk tolerance is. What are you trying to accomplish? And they put a time-tested plan together, 401K, IRA. You need to talk with them, 529s. You've got to get that money in a 529 if you're going to send your kids to college. And if you're leaving a job or you've left a job, your former employer doesn't have your best interest in mind. You need to get your money from your 401k, and you need to transfer it into an IRA rollover. Call Janet, call Beth at their office, 812. Listen, write this number down, 812-479-8215. Janet Schulteis, Beth Geltz will put a plan together to make sure your money increases and perpetuates for the next generation. And isn't that what it's all about? Creating something to pass on, a legacy. You ought to do that with your finances as well. Give Janet Schulteis at Edward Jones a call. Doesn't matter where you live, she can work with you. 812-479-8215. Joe, I love the NCAA tournament. I don't know about all the matchups that go on, but does that matter as much if you're ready to play? Does who you get matched up against? And I know from a coaching standpoint, there were times in the tournament where we got the draw, and that was the worst possible matchup we could have. But in the end, you got to be ready to play, right?
Well, you know, you look at Harvard, you look at North Dakota State, they came ready to play. If they didn't come ready to play, they'd be heading home today. Instead, they're going to play a second-round ball game. And, you know, they believed they could beat the team they were playing. You know, there were probably people in their fan base kind of questioning it. And you know what? It doesn't matter what the fan base thinks. As long as the team thinks they can do it, you know, they can do it. And, you know, that's what makes it so much fun. I mean, I love Thursday and Friday of the NCAA tournament. It's just so much fun to watch, and it should just be a holiday. They should let people off Thursday and Friday of the NCAA tournament.
You know, Joe, you're right. It should be a holiday. You know what? Every Friday should be a holiday, at least from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock Eastern, to listen to the Coach K and Joe Show. Joe, let's talk about some of these games today. You talked about upsets. I don't know about bracket breakers or upsets, but I'm going to throw a couple games out for you and I to talk about just a little bit about. One of an Indiana native, Craig Neal, played at Washington High School, Indiana All-Star, great player, went to Georgia Tech, has been an assistant with Steve Alford for years. He is now the head man at New Mexico. Noodles Neal. I actually have them going several rounds in the NCAA tournament. They play today against Stanford. What do you think about New Mexico and their chances of moving forward in the tournament?
Well, in my bracket, I have Noodles Neal winning the first round. I do have him, though, losing against Kansas. But I, you know, when I was picking my bracket, that was one I thought about because, you know, Kansas is the 2 seed, but I don't know if I'm buying Kansas this year. I'm just not sure about that. But, you know, being an Indiana connection, I wish him and Coach Alford, you know, all kinds of luck today in their games. And it'd be great to see an Indiana connection move on, seeing how we have no, I mean, you do realize the state of New Mexico had 2 teams in the NCAA tournament. The state of Indiana had none. How many times has that happened?
That is interesting. And New Mexico State played San Diego State. New Mexico plays today. You brought up another young man or gentleman from the state of Indiana, Steve Alford. He's got an interesting matchup. He plays against Tulsa, I believe, UCLA and Tulsa. And do you know who the head coach at Tulsa is?
No, I do not.
It's Danny Manning. And we know Danny Manning was a great college basketball player. He won a national championship while he was at Kansas under Larry Brown. And so Danny Manning takes Tulsa into the dance. So you have 2 coaches who won national championships to the dance, UCLA, Steve Alford. Of course, his son Bryce, who's a pretty good player, Bryce Alford. And then Danny Manning is taking Tulsa back. Tulsa hasn't been in the dance for quite a number of years. This is a game, Joe, and you may absolutely disagree with me. I picked UCLA, but I will not be surprised if Tulsa wins this game. I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why, folks. You're not going to like this, especially if you are a cult follower of Steve Alford. Steve Alford's teams seem to underachieve in the NCAA tournament. And somebody might be out there saying, well, Coach Schulteis, your teams didn't always win. You're right, they didn't, and people let me know, and sometimes my family. But Steve Alford's teams underachieve in the NCAA tournament. Go back and look at his history. It would not shock me if this UCLA team got bumped off by Tulsa. Tulsa, I think I'm correct in this, and if you want to tweet and tell me I'm wrong or text and tell me I'm wrong, they may have won 10 out of their last 11 or 11 out of their last 12. They're playing great basketball going into this tournament. UCLA, of course, is playing well, but the Pac-10 or Pac, I don't even know what it is, Pac-8, Pac-10, Pac-12 now. Who knows what it is now? Not the greatest conference in the world when it comes to basketball, and sometimes not football. Joe, I picked UCLA, but it would not shock me if Tulsa would get this one.
Yeah, Tulsa, you know, we'll be hearing a lot more about those Conference USA schools now that Memphis has moved along, because, you know, they're there for years, because I followed Conference USA pretty close, having a connection with Marshall, and, you know, they very rarely get the second team into the NCAA tournament. And now with Memphis gone, that's going to help other teams' chances of getting into the big dance all of a sudden. But I honestly do not know much about Tulsa this year, but I do agree with you. It seems like Coach Alford's teams have underachieved through the years. And, you know, it's just a known fact. But, you know, another Indiana connection playing today, and I just mentioned Memphis, is George Washington. You have ex-player Maurice Creek that's in the NCAA tournament this year since he did transfer to play his fifth year somewhere else.
Mo Creek! Yeah, there are a lot of people that are saying right now, why didn't we bring Mo Creek? But I got to tell you something. I did not realize he would be able to come and play as well as he has played because he really struggled physically. But he's with George Washington. It's great for Mo Creek. It proves that you can go somewhere else, that sometimes it doesn't work out, that maybe they start to close the door on you and say, you know, we don't really want you here anymore, that you can go where you're wanted. You're wanted, where you're celebrated, and you end up back in the dance. And while IU and Tom Crean sits at home, fifth-year senior could have been, Mo Creek, he's in the big dance with George Washington, a very winnable game for George Washington. A lot of people have picked GW to win that game. I did not. I picked Memphis. I figure a team that can beat Louisville that many times ought to be able to win their first game. Another game, Joe, another 12-5. Everybody talking about Stephen F. Austin beating VCU. Folks, you guys are going to be all over me. I didn't pick Stephen F. Austin. I didn't pick him. Joe, I don't know if you did. I didn't, because I think Shaka and VCU play tough defense, and I think Stephen F. Austin will have to deal with that defense. And I just don't think this 12-5 is going to happen the way people are claiming it's going to. Your thoughts on this 12-5 matchup?
12-5, I've got VCU. I've got VCU also taking Steve Alford down in the second round. And so I'm not buying the Stephen F. Austin. I'll tell you what, another interesting game today, I think, is the 8-9 game between Kentucky-Kansas, not only because I'm interested to see if Kentucky can pull that off, but also I didn't realize it until I was filling out my brackets that there's a possible Kentucky-Louisville a rematch in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, and I think that's why Patino has been a little outspoken about how they built the brackets this year, the matchups and things like that. But another interesting thing that we might point out, Kansas State is coached by Bruce Weber, former outstanding assistant at Purdue, Southern Illinois coach, He goes to Kansas State. He took over a pretty good team last year. They won. They got the tournament. This year, this team was not picked to get into the tournament. He's doing it with a couple of freshmen. I've watched him play. I don't know if they are tough enough. A lot of people say they are. I don't know if they're physically tough enough to beat Kentucky. I picked Kentucky, but Joe, having said that, I wanted to talk with Mike Pegram about this. You know, when I look at some of these teams, and we talk about skill sets, and a guy like Chris Kramer who brought a skill set to Purdue, Kentucky has all these really good athletes, basketball players, but some of them lack one of the main skills that this Kentucky team needs, and that is a dead-eye shooter. They need a couple of guys that can flat shoot from out. They can put the ball on the floor. They can put the ball on the floor. And you noticed in this sports tournaments, a lot of guys, to get the last shot, Joe, what are they doing? They're running isolations. They're putting the ball on the floor, taking it to the basket, trying to get to the rim. But I'm going to tell you what, folks, you got you people listening, the refs aren't calling the fouls. The refs are not calling the fouls. Whatever happened to penetrate, kick, find that nice shot to that great shooter? Maybe there are not a lot of great shooters out there on these teams. Kentucky loses a game to Florida. They don't even get a shot off in the conference tournament because the guy falls down trying to make the turn to take it to the basket. You've got to have shooters. You've got to have shooters. I saw Louisiana Lafayette, the Raging Cajuns, won the game. I can't remember who they were playing. Georgia State, they should have kicked it out to a shooter. Instead, they tried to go one-on-three. No foul called. They didn't get it. Ohio State, we love him. We love Aaron Kraft. He takes it to the basket on three guys. I think he got fouled, but you know what? They didn't call it. So where you got to have those shooters, Joe. And right now, if I see a failure of the really big-time programs, they're lacking the good shooter. I mean the really good shooters that they used to have. That's why people like Doug McDermott. Doug McDermott is big and strong, and he can take you inside, but he's a dead-eye from anywhere on the court. Joe, I just think there's too much dribble drive going on in the college game.
Yeah, if they're not going to call fouls, you know, you're at a disadvantage as well. And I would say that if that's the way it's going to be called, you're right, exactly right. There's too much. I got a question for you, though. You've got we don't know what the upsets are going to be today, but I want you to know which team has the potential of a second-round upset, Harvard versus Michigan State or North Dakota State versus San Diego State. If one of those was to happen, which one do you think?
I think it's North Dakota State. I really do. I don't think Harvard can beat Michigan State. I'm going to tell you why. I think Michigan State can match them on the perimeter in quickness. I do not think Harvard can match Michigan State in the post. And I don't know if Payne's going to have 41 points again, but I really think that most of us agreed that when this season started and as it was moving, Michigan State was one of the best teams, if not the best teams in the country. I don't always agree with the great legal mind of Jay Billis. Doesn't mean he has a great basketball mind, but he has a great legal mind. But I do think that Michigan State is one of the best teams. They're back healthy. Charles Barkley made this comment, and it was very insightful for Charles. He said the injuries that they had helped their team because they're going to get in the NCAA tournament. It banded their bench to be more prepared to play in games. It gave some other guys opportunities to step up and be scoring threats. I think it helped Gary Harris a lot. I think it helped that whole team. I don't think that Harvard, and they're smart. Those guys are smart. I love Harvard, too. They're athletic. They play the game the right way. You just had to watch them to see it. I don't think they can beat Michigan State. But I do think North Dakota State is capable of beating San Diego State, but I don't have that. I have San Diego State winning.
Now, I do have a question from our resident questioner, John Botts Magic Bodorf, and he asked a twofold question here. Coach K, will a 16 seed beat a 1 seed within the next 5 years? And secondly, do you think that they stack the Midwest specifically to address Wichita State's strength of schedule?
Bots, you always put me on the spot, but that's why we love you. I think it's very possible for that to happen. I really do. I tell you what, I like a couple of things the NCAA tournament's doing. I love these play-in games. I mean, they're good teams, decent teams. I really like them. And I do think that that 15 is going to happen. I do think that the one's going to go down in the first round to a 16 at some point, because a lot of these good players are freshmen. They're not tournament tested. And some of these teams that come in as 16s or 15s, whatever you want to call them, they have mature players on their team. And I know you might say, oh, coach, it's not going to happen. I think it can happen. I think that parity is happening not because everybody's got good players. I think parity's happening because the top programs have a lot of young players, and aren't we better with experience? I know I'm a better dad with experience, a better husband with experience, a better adult with coach with experience. I was even a better player with experience. A lot of them come in the tournament, they don't have that experience. But these other teams, even if it's their first or second time in the tournament, they've got some maturity with them, and that may give them an advantage down the stretch. The Midwest is packed, but a lot of people think the South was too. The matchups, I think, are intriguing. There's relationship matchups. There's big-time program matchups. It's very, very interesting. I'd love to be inside that room when they're making those decisions. But, folks, let's face it. Except for a couple of games, the first day of play was exceptional. Even the play-in games were exceptional. And don't count Tennessee out. I know Joe's brother will be happy about that. Quazo Martin deserves to stay at Tennessee. He's done a great job. Travis Madison's going to join us next. We're going to talk about Bari Vikings versus Clay City in the 1A semi-state taking place at Seymour. I will be there to watch my legacy, Josh Schulteis, a member of the Bari staff. Coach Brian Hughes was on the show. Mike DeCourcy, Travis Madison will be doing play-by-play. Travis is the superintendent for Bari Community Schools, does a great job. He also is the game analyst for those games. We're going to go to a quick break. When we come back, Travis Madison, the Bari Vikings, they're excited up there in Montgomery and Canelburg and Alfordsville, too. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, this is Coach K. Want to get the word out about your business? Well, team up with the Coach K and Joe Show and form a winning marketing team, and we can help put your marketing dollars to work 24 hours a day. Through our live shows and our 24-hour available podcasts, your marketing dollars can work for you around the clock. So give us a call at Milligan Communications, 812-630-2449, and we will help your marketing dollars to score for you.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. With us is the color analyst for the Bari Vikings radio broadcast on the General with Mike DeCourcy. He's also the superintendent of Bari Schools. He's a former basketball coach high school. He's a former sectional and regional champion, played for the great teams at Washington Catholic in 89 and 91. Travis Madison, welcome to the show.
I appreciate you guys having me. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, you know, we've had Brian Hughes, the coach, last week. We've had Mike DeCourcy, your sidekick, earlier a couple weeks ago. Had to get your side because you have been on all the broadcasts. This matchup in the semi-state 1A up at Seymour for a chance to go to the Class A state championship. Bari's been runner-up three times. This looks like a real possibility, but you got to get past the Clay City Eels. a team that your Vikings have played already, and let's get some comments on that. But first, let's jump back to the regional championship, Northeast Du Bois championship game at Lagodi, packed house, great atmosphere. I was there. Northeast Du Bois, big guys, did a good job of altering some of the shots that Addison was taking. One of your starters got hurt, but you had a sophomore by the name of Logan James, as well as a couple other guys step up big time. Logan had about 29 points, had the first 9 points of the 12 points of the game for you guys. What an awesome situation to have guys stepping up in a regional championship game like that.
Yeah, and really it's been indicative of our team all year long. And that's, you know, even over the last couple of years, as most of the guys that are here this year were players last year. And that's probably the thing that I think is, you know, a strength of our squad is the fact that, you know, you, obviously you got the senior in Micah Bullock who can do, you know, a lot of things with the basketball. Obviously, you got the Addison Wagler, the big junior inside, that is a tough guard inside as well because he's so strong and he just is very fundamentally sound, and he's got quickness that you just don't see until you can't really see it on tape until you see him in live in action. You just don't realize how good a footwork he has. But that's kind of been a staple of this team over the last couple of years is there's just so many different guys that can hurt you, and it's made us a tough team to beat. It's made us a tough team to, I think, prepare for. You know, teams will come out and try to zone us, and then we're able to get the ball inside against that. There's teams that will try to man us. They'll try to do some different things. But the one thing that Coach Hughes has just done a great job of and his staff is just being able to, you know, whatever the other team throws at us, they make the adjustments necessary, and the kids on the floor make the adjustments necessary, and they get the job done, and it could be somebody different each and every night. We've had several games this year where we've had 5 guys in double figures, all of them around 12 or 13 points, but then we've had other nights where obviously Addison got big numbers or Micah got big numbers, and the other night it just happened to be Logan that stepped up, and I think I said in the pregame, I knew they with Du Bois, when we played them early in the year, Mike had 22 points in the first quarter. And the year before, Addison set his career high against Northeast Du Bois. So obviously Coach Friedman and his staff are very aware of those two guys. So you knew coming in that they were going to do their darndest to make somebody else beat them. Obviously, we've seen Logan grow up in our program, and obviously we know that what he can do with the ball in his hands. We know he can score the basketball, but the last couple of years as a freshman and a sophomore point guard, he's been asked to run the show and get us in our sets and get us in our offenses, and he's perfectly content with doing that and kind of playing, you know, second, third, fourth fiddle on this team. But obviously, you know, when you know the team the way that we do and Coach Hughes does, he knows that Logan can do those things if he really needs to. And the other night he just stepped up and made big play after big play, but I think that's just the strength of this team is that, you know, any given night, different guys can hurt you. And the one thing that I felt like is special with this team over the last couple of years is just how they share the basketball. So many extra passes that they make that you just don't see that a lot of times in this day and age. And I think the good teams are the ones you see that make that extra pass. They may have a good shot, but then they pass it up for an even better shot. And they really don't care who scores. They really don't care who ends up with the ball in the hoop. I think it's just a situation where they've been well-schooled and they share the basketball. And that night it just happened to be Logan that got the opportunity, and, boy, he sure took advantage of it.
Yeah, and Travis, I agree with you. The thing that I noticed the whole night was poise and composure, making the extra passes, but not just making the extra passes, shot fakes, pass fakes.
Yeah.
Other people may call them ball fakes. Almost every time before they made that pass, there was a pass fake. Before they took a shot or kicked the ball, there was a shot fake. They were drawing the defense. They were making the defense move, keeping that floor balanced. And then I loved how in the fourth quarter the lead was there. You probably could have added to the lead, but Coach, he understands, Coach Hughes and those kids understand, now we're going to move the basketball. We're not going to get anything but a direct layup or free throws. And to the credit of every one of those players, Addison Wagler had a couple opportunities where he could have taken a dribble or so to the basket. Instead, he turned, he kicked it out, moved it again, and just did a great job. So when I look at that, I think about a team with the poise and composure. They're dialed in. They're dialed in at this point.
Yeah, and really, I know Coach Hughes in his post-game comments. I mean, this team's been number one all season long. They've had a bullseye on their back, and obviously, we've gotten a lot of teams' best efforts. I mean, when we go to play on the road, or even when teams come in here, I mean, it's a game that they've put an asterisk by on their schedule. And you know, and even looking at Clay City, I mean, I know Coach Edmondson, obviously, I know you coached against him when you were at WC. He was a standout for North Davies. So he's obviously very familiar with Bar Reeve and very familiar with the area. And I know I'm kind of jumping ahead a little bit, but I know when we played them in the Graber Post Buildings Classic in the first round, that tournament's usually drawn in the spring for the following year. And I know when that game came up, we obviously knew they would be a very strong team, but I know, and just talking to folks around up in Greene County and even up where Clay City's at, I know that was a game they kind of had marked on their schedule, because I know since Coach Edmondson's been at Clay City, and obviously he's helped in he was at North Central along the way, I think when we played him in the Semi-State a few years back, he's always looked at, I think that's kind of something he when he went to Clay City, he wanted to emulate what maybe the Lagodis, Bar Reeves, some of the schools down here have been able to do at a small school level as far as be competitive year in and year out. And I know that was a very important game on their schedule to kind of see if they've arrived, if you will. And you know, they came out really really wanting to show something, and they just happened to run into Bar Reeve probably playing its best half of basketball all year long in that game at the Graber Post Buildings Classic. And that's been a challenge for this team. And you mentioned locked in. I think that's something that Coach Hughes and his staff have done an unbelievable job on. Is, you know, we've had some games this year we've had to play a team again after playing them in the regular season, and in a lot of cases handling them very, very easily. And I think that's a true indicator of how locked in you are, because we are dealing with 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old kids, and they remember that last game, and they can look at the scoreboard and realize, hey, you know, we beat them pretty good. And sometimes kids have a tendency of assuming that's going to happen again. And I think that's one thing that Coach Hughes and his staff have done a great job, is just basically reminding the kids that game really doesn't mean anything. Let's take the positives, but then let's also focus that this is a new game. It's 0-0 on the scoreboard when we play them, and that game at this point means nothing. And they've had to do it against North Davies in the sectional, Reveille in the sectional, Shoals in the sectional. And then in the regional, obviously, with Northeast Dubois, we had a game with them earlier in the year where we handled them on the road pretty handily, but we knew they were a different team. We knew they were a lot healthier, and obviously, you know, Coach Friedman and his staff, those kids are going to come in and play hard and not give up till the final buzzer. So we've had that opportunity, you know, on four different occasions in the tournament where we've had a rematch, so to speak. So Coach Hughes has done a great job of making sure those kids come in, and you can just tell from the tip. And they just come in, and they there's no letdown at all. They're focused, they're engaged, and they've taken care of business on those occasions. And it's not always easy to do when you've handled a team maybe so, you know, in such a manner earlier in the season. But I think it speaks to what you said, where they're just locked in.
Yeah, and Travis, you know, that's why some people might look at that game and with Clay City and say, oh, this could be a trap game. But I think you just explained why it's not going to be a trap game. It's not going to be a trap game because of what you just stated, the teams they've had to play twice in the season, the scores and differentials, it's just being locked in, going out and saying, we're going to do what we need to do. On the other side, Clay City, you know, they've gone as far as a Clay City team has gone in years, I'm sure, and they've done a great job. What can you tell us, the listeners, we know about Bar Reeve, what
Sure.
can you tell us about Clay City?
I know the biggest thing with Clay City is, and this is probably one of their strengths, is they've got five or six guys that can really put the ball on the floor and drive in and shoot, and that's kind of their calling card. They like to shoot the three, they like to spread you out. They've got a couple guys inside that can post, but that's not what they want to do. I mean, they want to basically spread you out and drive and kick. And I know you mentioned earlier in your broadcast as far as that's kind of a lost art in the college game as far as having guys. But they've got five or six guys that they're comfortable with basically chucking up the three. And if they're hitting, I mean, they get that drive and you don't do a very good job, you know, helping and letting them get to the basket. But if you help from the wrong people, and you leave their shooters open, they got three or four or five guys that can really shoot the ball and stroke it from 3-point line, and that's kind of the way they play. I know when we played them earlier in the year, they struggled a little bit from the field. We probably did mm-hmm. as good a job defensively as we've done all year long, basically taking away drives from them and forcing tough contested shots, and then we rebounded just really well in that first game and got some easy opportunities. The thing we did really is we turned them over early, which was a huge key in that basketball game, because then they were playing comeback the rest of the way. And then a good thing that I think Brian went to that game too is, if you're familiar with Bari, they do a nice 3-2 zone where they can really get out and use their length and got some quickness, and I think that slowed them down. But, like I said, they've got 4 or 5 guys that can really shoot it. They can all put the ball on the floor, so they're a tough team to guard in the half court. They got Singer is a nice guard. He had 21, hit 2 big free throws in the regional championship. Another kid, Rogers, he had 20 points. I mean, they've got some guys that can score the basketball, and they're a lot like us. But you look at their box scores; there's different guys every night that do different things. But they're pretty strong guard oriented team that can do a lot of damage driving the basketball, getting to the foul line. But then also they can, if they're shooting the ball extremely well, boy, they're tough to guard. And I know that's what scared Coach Hughes about them the first time we played them, is that they do such a good job of really spreading you out and moving the basketball. And really, I mean, that's one thing that I think Northeast Dubois got better at as the year went on, even though they had a lot more size than what Clay City has, is they just put their heads down and drive the basketball. And that's tough to guard sometimes. And then, like I said, if you help from the wrong people and you don't know your personnel very well and you don't know your matchups, then you end up leaving some guys open that you really don't want to leave open on the perimeter. So that'll be a big challenge for the Vikings, I think, is just understanding that keep the ball in front of you, and that's one thing that, I mean, Coach Hughes has done that for years. He doesn't really get out into passing lanes and really try to take things away. Now, the kids he has right now, they can kind of do it a little bit because they do have some quickness, but it's not something that they force the issue inside of the 10-second line. It's usually more of a 3-point line and in. But they do. This team does a nice job on the ball defensively. It's just that help and recover. If you do help and you step in and help on the drive, you got to make sure you close out on those shooters and you got to rotate effectively too. So, they're a good shooting team. They run their stuff extremely well. And I think it'll be a good ball game. Obviously, we got them by 30 in that game, but I think it was one of those things where we jumped on them early, and it was just a situation where they were having to play comeback basketball the whole game, and they probably took shots and rushed shots that they wouldn't ordinarily have done, and then it just snowballed on them a little bit, which has a tendency of happening sometimes.
Well, obviously, Micah Bullock and Logan James and Addison Wagler make you guys tick, but also Logan Loniger came in and did a great job, Chris Whitmer, a number of guys, Connor Schwartz and Trigger, all those guys came in and contributed. Another player for you, he got hurt, took a shot to the head. Just give us a quick update before we end the segment on Duncan Roy.
Sure. He got hit, and he actually got hit twice in the tournament so far. He got hit in the North Davies game, and then he was able to come back in that game. But on Saturday night, when they did some tests on the sideline, he just didn't feel comfortable with him coming back. He actually got to see a couple of doctors on Monday, and the Vikings didn't practice. Brian gave him the day off, so he was able to get in and see the doctors, and they did some thorough testing on him, and he was cleared to practice on Tuesday, and I think they took it pretty easy on Tuesday, mostly shooting and some film work, and then they went to Seymour on Wednesday, and I think he was in full mode on Wednesday, Thursday, and then they're practicing again, obviously, today after school. So I think everything's fine. I think he's got checked out by the doctors. They've cleared him to play. It's just if you watch the film, he got hit pretty good, and I'll give the Northeast Dubois kid credit. He came up right afterward. I think it was just one of those inadvertent elbows. You got guys that are fighting for rebounds in there, and I can't remember which player got him, but, I mean, right away he knew he got him pretty good and came over and made sure he was okay. And even after the game, he had reached out and wanted to make sure, because I think he knew he just got him right there on the head. But you got those guys battling in there. And it was a physical game. But he looks to be fine and ready to go on Saturday. And the boys went over and had a nice practice at Seymour, I think, on Wednesday afternoon. They'll have another practice here today. And then probably have a little walkthrough in the morning before they head on over to Seymour in the late morning, early afternoon for the 1 o'clock start. So he's doing fine. Looks to be everybody's healthy. That's one blessing we've had all year long. We haven't had too many injuries. We'll knock on wood. Looking forward to tomorrow and hopefully have another good turnout. I know we sold about 800 tickets, and then our spring break actually starts Monday, so we've got a lot of folks that are going to be going to the game and heading somewhere else. It'll be a fun time on Saturday for everybody.
Well, the 1A Bari Vikings, number one all year. They'll play the Clay City Eels up in the semi-state at Seymour. I will be in the house, Barney Scott Gymnasium, former coach at Jasper High School as well, great coach at Seymour. If you can't get to the game, Travis, give the radio station a plug, because when you listen to Travis and Mike DeCourcy, Travis has plenty of experience for success in the tournament. It's like being right there at the game. Give your station a plug.
Yeah, we'll be actually simulcast on 95.9. That's our usual home station, the General, from there in Washington. But we will be on 107.9. It's Memories 107.9. And they usually cover the Washington Hatchet games during the year. So they're going to simulcast us on both of those stations. But then you can also get us online at WAMWFM.com. And you can stream it live off of the internet too. So I know we've got several folks from around even the not only in just the United States, but even I know Logan James, Uncle Jim, who played for you at WC, he's down in Australia and he listens. It's a little bit of a time difference, but he usually stays up or gets up early and listens to the game on the computer, as he has a hard time getting back throughout the course of years to be able to watch him play. But so we've got folks all over the world that listen online. So yeah, if you can't make it, we'll do our best to paint the picture of what's going on, and we try to stay calm, cool, and collected. But sometimes that's harder than it is at times. But the old coach comes out. I mean, the old player, you get. But again, biggest thing is, I've had an opportunity. I know with the junior class, I got an opportunity to coach them a few years back when they were in eighth grade, and just a great group of kids. And we're very blessed here with our obviously with the coaches we have, with the kids we have playing, the parents, the community. It's a very special place, and I know our girls were able to pull off a nice state championship this year, just wonderful young ladies, and then these young men just deserve the very best because they really handled themselves with dignity and class, and I just couldn't be more proud of them. And I got two sons of my own, and for them to be able to watch these guys and how they carry themselves, it's just wonderful for our community to have these guys represent us. So we wish them the best, and it'll be a fight tomorrow, but we're looking forward to it.
One more to get there, two to win it. Bari Vikings 1A on Saturday. Thanks, Travis. We're going to go to a quick break. When we come back, we got the new Oregon recruit, Jaquan Lyle, right here on the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Uvalar with Uvalar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Right now, Uvalar's has a huge selection of awesome pre-owned vehicles, cars, trucks, vans, sport utilities, in most all price categories. And they're all priced to sell. Some are certified and some have special low APRs, but best of all, they are all priced to sell. Uvalar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends for great pre-owned vehicles since 1929.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. You're talking to the Coach K. And with us is the newest member of the Oregon Ducks. We got a little background noise going. Jaquan Lyle, welcome to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, Jaquan. It's a pleasure to have you. It's been a big week for you, spring break, and then you make a commitment to play for Dana Altman and the Oregon Ducks. They're in the NCAA tournament. They started out with a win. You, a former Bossy Bulldog and currently Huntington Prep basketball player, do you feel a weight off your shoulders after making your commitment?
Yeah, man, it's a major weight off my shoulders. I mean, with the season going on and trying to decide where to go to school and all at the same time, it was very stressful. And, I mean, I took it day by day, and then I paid attention to my senior year and to senior basketball season. And then, I mean, when I could make a visit, I did, and then I'm just happy it's all over now.
I'll bet you are. I know that you have a very supportive family, and when I call it extended, I mean, whether it's right, the mob, whatever it is, they support you 110%. They're very proud of you. You played for one of the top prep teams in the country this year. I've been able to watch you a couple times via television. I also watched you play for a couple years at Bossy. I've seen your game expand this year. I thought your passing angles are much better, your decision-making. You've got some more weapons. That always helps you as a guard. And you look bigger. Have you gained some muscle? Have you gained some weight this year on that 6'5 frame?
Yeah, I gained a lot of muscle. I gained a lot of weight. I mean, I'm getting a lot stronger overall. I'm just trying to become the best player I can be and doing whatever necessary for that to come true.
Well, and you are touted as one of the top seniors in the country. Some people have you in the top 50. Some people have you in the top 20. You made your decision to go to Oregon. Beautiful country, stayed in this country. Obviously, Nike headquarters are out there. Dana Altman, as good a coach as you can get. I've watched him for years. He had a lot of interest from all over the country. You had interest here in the state. I know we have a lot of Indiana fans, Hoosier fans, that listen to the show, as well as people from around the country because we're on the Internet. Was Indiana ever in the mix for you, or was it just a school that you looked at?
Yeah, they were in the mix. I mean, Indiana, it's a Hoosier state, it's a basketball state. So, I mean, of course, there's going to be good basketball there. But, I mean, they just have, like, a lot of guards there. They have a lot of guards there. Then they have guards coming in. So I feel like it was going to be too cluttered for another guard to be coming in and fighting for playing time. I mean, I know it's going to be tough wherever you go. I know it's going to be guards wherever you go. But, I mean, they probably have three or four on a roster now and then have two coming in. So, I mean, you just, I don't know. With that, it was great. And, yeah, don't get me wrong. Indiana's a great school and everything. But it's just something where I was interested in. But, I mean, it just had too much.
Jaquan, with social media, I follow you on Twitter and have for a long time and follow a lot of other college and up and rising high school players. Has social media changed? I mean, as far as you and other players around the country, you get to talk to each other more often, not just when you play each other or when you read something in the paper. Are you guys able to track who's going where and how that changes the scenario for you instead of just relying on the coaches that are recruiting you? You're also getting a sense for, this may not be the best place for me because I'm one of six guys they're looking at for the same position?
I mean, yeah, social media, it plays a role into recruitment these days. I mean, with the fan bases on the social media and everything like that, like, Indiana's fans are crazy on social media. Kentucky fans are crazy on social media. Like, they have a lot. They have a huge fan base. So they're always on Twitter, always on Instagram, telling you to come here, come there. And then, I mean, then you got to deal with the negatives too. So, I mean, it's just all, you just have to take it all in and understand that, I mean, it's never that serious to base a decision off of social media. But, I mean, it's fun to keep in contact with your friends on social media and stuff like that. So it's real nice.
Well, you know, one thing that I do want our listeners to know, Jaquan left Bossy High School. He went to Huntington Prep to play this senior year. But you have never been far from Evansville. I know that the Trice family attends St. Ben's, and my son is at St. Ben's, and you're back in Evansville a lot. You've never lost your connection to the Evansville community.
No, I mean, it's such a great community. I mean, everyone here supports me. I mean, that's you can't leave someone that like that. I mean, even when I go out now, I mean, still everybody's like, oh, it's Jaquan, take a picture with me. You're so good. Like, I mean, but it's fun. It's fun to know that I can come back to that, and nobody's really like, oh, that's Jaquan. What is he doing here? And stuff like that. So, I mean, it's real fun. And just like when I went to St. Dean yesterday, all the kids were excited. I got to play soccer with them at recess and stuff like that. So it was real fun. It's fun to see kids smile and enjoy to spend time with me.
Okay, you choose the Oregon Ducks, Dana Altman. Obviously, that relationship had to start somewhere. I know when you announced your decision, you talked about the connection you had with the assistant coaches. You've met a lot of recruiters, a lot of assistant coaches from Kansas to Oklahoma State to Indiana to Louisville and now to Oregon. What was it about Oregon? Was it just the coaches? Was it seeing the school? Was it looking at the players you're going to play with? What was it that sealed the deal with Oregon?
It's just the relationships. That's going to play a big role into my. It played a big role into my decision. I had a personal relationship with the head coach and the assistant coach. So that was a great thing. But that was the main thing. Just a relationship that I developed with the head coach and then assistant coach as well.
Well, I think trust becomes a major issue, even on the college level, the high school level. That's where I coach, and I know the relationships are important. There's that sense of, am I being sold something, or is this a genuine connection? Did you have those feelings at times when you sat down with different coaches that they were just trying to sell you something instead of trying to really say, I've got your best interests in mind? A lot of times we hear that players and coaches, they didn't get what they bargained for. What were your thought processes going through?
You said what now? I didn't hear you. Phone broke up.
Well, the relationships where you gather trust with these assistant coaches. Did you ever feel like some of the assistants were just trying to sell you a school while others were trying to say, this is a real relationship between Jaquan Lyle and this university?
Well, you never know because you never know the truth because yes, his recruiting is part of their job to get the best players that they can, and they're going to do whatever they can to do that. You just have to go with your gut feeling. Your gut knows when somebody's telling the truth to you and somebody really cares about you and they're not lying to you. And that was the bottom line. That's why you just got to go with your gut feeling. If your gut feeling's wrong, then I don't know what to say to that.
Hey, before I let you go, your senior year's not done yet. Your Huntington prep team still has a big tournament left, Madison Square Garden. You got to be pretty excited about that venue.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. It's just an opportunity to play in Madison Square Garden is huge. And I hope Carmelo's there in the front row watching.
You know, when you made that decision to go to Huntington Prep, did you think, I can go in there and start right away, or was there a feeling, I've got to up my game if I'm going to really be the player I can be at Huntington Prep?
Well, being a confident player as I am, I went in thinking that I was going to start it right away, but when I got there, the players are just as good as me, so I had to get on my A game and play right away.
Well, we certainly are excited for you, Jaquan. We wish you the best, and we hope you and your family just have a ball the next 4 years with Dana Altman and the Oregon Ducks. Get Madison Square Garden.
Thank you.
Thanks for being with us, Jaquan. We're going to go to a quick break. When we come back, we'll give you the last few minutes of the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, this is Coach K. Want to get the word out about your business? We'll team up with the Coach K and Joe Show and form a winning marketing team, and we can help put your marketing dollars to work 24 hours a day. Through our live shows and our 24-hour available podcasts, your marketing dollars can work for you around the clock. So give us a call at Milligan Communications, 812-630-2449, and we will help your marketing dollars to score for you.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Dean Hart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back for the final segment of the Coach K and Joe Show. We got about 8 minutes or so to go. Joe, it was nice to have Jaquan Lyle call. Here's a young man still in high school, just made a big decision in his life for he and his family for the next 4 years. Dana Altman, outstanding coach. I have never heard anything but good things about him. And for those of you who tweeted me yesterday from Oregon, we had a bunch, several tweets from Oregon people wanting to know where they could listen to the Coach K and Joe Show. We'll make sure that if you're listening now, you can catch the interview again on podcast. Go to the Coach K and Joe Show. coachkandshow.com. That's Coach K and A&D Show .com, and you can listen to that interview on podcast as well as all our shows. And we'll make sure, Joe, that on Facebook and on Twitter, we get that out, that Jaquan's interview, that he was with us on this show.
Yeah, the interview and the whole podcast will be available about 5-10 minutes after the show is over. We have to wait for it to be processed by Blog Talk for us to be able to embed it on our website, but we'll have it on as soon as possible.
Okay, who do you want to see get beat today, Joe? Who do you want to see get beat?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I mean, I'd have to think about that for a second because, you know, with IU and Purdue not being in it, it's just been kind of a, you know, it's been fun to watch the upsets, but I don't know if I'm really cheering for one team. My wife is a big Iowa State Cyclone fan, so I can't really cheer against them, I guess, because they have a player actually that played for Marshall. It's a really good friend of my daughter's, DeAndre Kane, who transferred there to play his last year, and he had an okay career at Marshall, but I don't know if it's coaching style or what, but DeAndre now is being touted as a possible player of the year. He's listed on the draft boards, you know, as far as people projecting who would win, who might get drafted into the NBA, and so I'm kind of happy for him. And my wife and I very rarely, except for Purdue and Jasper, cheer for the same team, so I guess it can't be them. But other than that, I don't like Kansas. I've never been a big Kansas fan. I'm not quite sure where my disdain for Kansas came from, but it is Kentucky. I'm not a big fan of theirs, but for my father-in-law and mother-in-law, I'd like for them to win, you know, not like I used to when I used to cheer against them and almost be ordered out of the house by my mother-in-law back when I was dating my wife back in high school. So I'd say Kansas. Who's yours?
You know, I picked them, and I'm along the same line, Kentucky and Kansas, the KKs. I want them to get beat, but I did pick them in my pool. So, but I'm out of the billion-dollar chase, so it doesn't matter. Warren Buffett is not going to be giving me $1 billion, at least not in this instance. So Kentucky or Kansas or both, I wouldn't mind seeing them get beat. Now, Brian McAtee, a big Kentucky fan, probably doesn't like that. But I'll tell you, yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing that happen. Joe, before we go, a couple of things. Let's mention a couple of things. The Division I National Junior College Tournament's going on out in Hutchinson, Kansas. A former guest of ours, Pat Blake, Coach Pat Blake of Chipola, he is the son of sportscaster Mike Blake, well-known around Southern Indiana, where the show originates. They got beat in their second round game, 86-679. Jones County beat Chipola. Jones County will play Vincennes Junior College out of Indiana, perennial power in the junior college ranks. Dan Sparks, a longtime coach. He's not there now. He's retired. One of the winningest coaches in the game of basketball, made them a power. They will be playing Jones County to continue on their 33-2. I might make mention that the girls' Indiana All-Star team was released. Mara Munsterman of Modern Day made the team. Of course, she's going to Indiana University, 22 points a game. They got beat in the final game, what would have been a three-peat state champion, although they did have to move up a class because of the vaunted success rule. IHSAA, if you're listening, I don't know about that rule. I understand why, but I'm not sure about it. Gretchen Miles, the coach at Washington, will be an assistant coach. Head coach will be Eric Thornton. The U of E women are still alive in the pay-for-play tournament, WBI. And, Joe, I'm going to end this show real quickly with this. Fred Glass took some heat from people around the country for saying that he didn't, that Indiana doesn't play in pay-for-play tournaments. Good for you, Fred Glass. I donate to Indiana. I donate. I don't want my money being used to pay to play in the CBI tournament. The CBI, Indiana shouldn't pay to play, and neither should Purdue.
And I totally agree with that.
Take it away, Joe.
Okay. You know, as I always say, you know, go out to a local high school sporting event. It's a great value for the dollars you spend, and there are limited games this week to go to. But before I go, I want to wish Josh Schulteis and the Barrie Vikings good luck this weekend. I'd love to see Josh sitting on the bench at Conseco, and it would be a great thing. And for Coach K, I'm Joe Milligan saying we'll see you next week.
Yes. Happy 17th birthday to Reed Milligan.
Yeah, happy birthday to Reed Milligan as well. And I just got a great news. He got named onto the National Honor Society, and he's also a Hoosier State delegate. So I'm pretty happy and very proud. So, but good luck to Josh this weekend. And for Coach K, I'm Joe Milligan saying we'll see you next week on the Coach K and Joe Show.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Ubelar & Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. See you next week.